Welcome, everyone. So disclaimer, yada, yada, yada. This is information, not medical advice. If you have a health condition, talk to your doctor before making any changes. So what are the options? If you're working with somebody and you're thinking that they need a detox, what are some of the options? Well, you can put them on a water fast. If you're going to do a water fast with somebody, you want to be really monitoring them. I went away to do it. That said, I have monitored quite a number of people over relatively long water fasts, but they were people that I felt like were really responsible, and I gave them my cell phone number, and I wanted to hear from them every day. What's your pulse? What's your blood pressure? How's your energy level? What's going on? And it was very successful. Very successful. One of them, it wasn't. I said, stop. You gotta stop. And you never know from one time to the next. She had done it once before for 5 days or 7 days, and she was fine. And this time on the third day, I said, no, you have to stop. Not good. Okay? So the other way is juice feasting. You know, you're drinking juice, green juice preferably. I prefer not to drink fruit juice because it spikes blood sugars too much. Green smoothie cleansing, where you're just drinking green smoothies. And then with a modification I make with that with new people, I have three levels of green smoothie cleanse. One is the smoothies only, and the ideal would be for people who have sugar problems that it's a low glycemic green only, which is a hard one to do. Then the middle would be green smoothies, but they're eating, you know, some salads and some veggies in between. And then the other end would be they're on a gluten-free and dairy-free and low-toxicity diet. They're drinking at least one or two smoothies a day, and they're eating a lot of greens with their meals, but they're eating meals. Yeah, simple foods with herbs and special supplements, that's an option. I've put people on things like UltraClear, which is a powdered, or MediClear Plus, and they just would drink that. I had one person ages and ages ago that she did that for 4 days, and she goes, can I go longer? And she ended up going 10 days, and it was what really helped her to get through a weight plateau that she'd been going through, and she felt awesome, and she had her daughter do it, and her daughter did it for 10 days also. So you can do that. I used to use those. I've never been crazy about the ingredients in them. MediClear is better than UltraClear. It doesn't have fructose or any sweetener like that in it. But they're all kind of synthetic vitamins. What I've done, I put together a detox that I did with Tira Warner. She wanted to do a detox, and she didn't know how to put together a detox. She wanted you know, me to do it because I've had a lot of experience with it. So we put together a six-week detox where we used some of the sprouted brown rice proteins, and we used milk thistle, and we had three levels of it, actually. We had the hardcore people who wanted to just juice and do enemas and that sort of thing, and on the other end, we had people who wanted to do just these powdered drink formulas, and the middle was people who wanted to do it part of a little bit of each, and we created a way that they could do their own detox formula using some of the liver support herbs and nutrients, and I created a detox shake, and there's a whole process. There's all these little books and stuff to do it with. I'll definitely put up some detox kind of formula recipes that I have that I can put up, so that if you want to work with people on it, you can. What about food cravings? People say, you know, food cravings, it's emotional eating. Sometimes the food cravings are really related to toxins. There's tissue irritation when toxins get released and start circulating in the system. There's tissue irritation when there's inflammatory chemicals. Fats release chemicals that can cause irritation, that can cause your body to start going, ugh. Food cravings can also be that your body is needing certain foods to help those detox pathways along. But it could be that you're detoxifying from chemicals and that you have nutrient imbalances and you need a specific set of nutrients. For some people, the cravings that they have are for good stuff. For some, it's not. When I was on my 28-day fast, which pure water for 28 days, by the way, I would have dreams of eating cauliflower with almond butter. It was like, I was just dying for cauliflower with almond butter. I never had dreams of anything else. My husband did a 10-day water fast one time, and he was dreaming of steak and potatoes. And he hadn't had steak in quite a while, and he was dreaming of steak and potatoes. So it's all different. So what do you need to do to enhance, slow down, or stop detox as needed? So what's going on? Like if somebody's like, they're moving along, you want to speed up their detox, you add some nutrients. You go back to the charts and you say, okay, I want to speed up phase two. What can I add them? Let me add them some dill, and let me give them some more turmeric, and let me add some milk thistle. Then there's foods that slow down phase one and foods that enhance phase two. That's going to help a detox. I had one person I tried to put through a detox, and it was a really easy detox. It wasn't anything extreme. It was just getting her off of gluten and dairy and putting her on some, you know, just basic stuff. I didn't think of it as a detox at all. I thought it was a normal diet. But she went into major detox symptoms. And she said the only way to slow it down was to eat some starchy foods. And, you know, I don't know if that was her body going through withdrawal from those foods that she was so allergic to and she so craved or not. But that was a unique case. But most of the time, if you have somebody who's in crisis and you want to slow it down, you want to slow down phase one and enhance phase two. So go back to your charts, pick out the foods that slow down phase one and enhance phase two, and start working with those. Factors that enhance detoxification. Genetics, the effects that affect detoxification ability. Genetics, exposures, nutritional status, the strength of your liver, and stress. All of these things are going to play in to how well you can detoxify. Right, genetics we're going to look at in terms of some methylation polymorphisms. We're going to look at some glutathione S transferase polymorphisms and a few other nutritional and genetic things that affect the nutrition of detoxification. So let's go ahead and do that. So here are some genes. So we talked about the fact that there are things called single nucleotide polymorphisms, which are swaps. It was like a change, an alteration in a genetic expression. A different nucleotide is substituted for one another, or there's one missing, or there's one that's added to the sequence, and that has to do with coding for the DNA. So there's a number of these that influence detoxification. Big one is the GSTM gene, which codes for glutathione S transferase. Now, when you have a polymorphism, you can either have one gene that's inefficient or missing, two of them, one or two, right? So you either get one from your mom and one from your dad, and dad gave you a good one, mom gave you a bad one, or you got two bad ones, or you got two good ones, in which case you don't have a mutation. When you have a double whammy on the GSTM gene, your ability to make and use glutathione is significantly decreased, like between 80 and 90% decreased. So very little left. So you're going to have lots of problems with detoxification. If you get metals put in your mouth, you're going to have a problem. And you know these people. We all know these people who are super, super sensitive to their environment. Good likelihood that they have this GSTM or some of these other gene mutations that we're going to talk about. There's another gene, the MTHFR gene. A lot of people talk about that like it's one thing. There's actually a whole bunch of MTHFRs, different locuses. There's two of them in particular that are very commonly broken, so to speak. And that's the 677T and the A129, I forget the letter after it. But these two are found to be off. And this affects your ability to methylate. It affects your ability to add methyl groups to take chemicals fully through their pathways. These affect an enzyme called methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. And when this does not make it all the way through, there's a lot of problems. You get a buildup of homocysteine, you have increased risk of heart disease, you have problems with methylation, you have problems that resemble the brain fog and the body aches and a lot of things that happen with candida overgrowth or being drunk and having a hangover. It's that buildup of acetaldehyde. So this is a really important one and affects your ability to detoxify. The SOD2 gene, superoxide dismutase 2, it's a strong cellular antioxidant, super important for phase 2. So when that gene is missing, or you know, either one or both mutations are present, you're going to have a decrease in that detoxification. APOE4 is a big one. It carries cholesterol and heavy metals for elimination. So this is important. If you have a deficit in this APOE4, and actually the APOE4 looks a little bit differently. It's shown as either you have a 2-2, a 2-3, a 2-4, or any combination of that. You can have a 2-2, You have a 3-3, you could have a 4-4. 4-4 is the worst. They're the least able to detoxify mercury and heavy metals. And 2-2 is the best. 2-2 is not a mutation, 2-2 is normal. It actually helps it. So when you don't have this gene functioning and coding for protein that does this adequately, you're going to get cholesterol problems, buildup of cholesterol. So you don't, it's not carrying the cholesterol away, and the cholesterol is depositing in the arteries. So you have an increased incidence of heart disease. You combine this with the MTHFR and you get a big buildup of homocysteine on top of it, you're in pretty serious shape. Okay? And the problem with the APOE, you know, if you can't carry out metal, you gotta be really careful about those metals in your teeth. As bad as they are in your teeth, if you're gonna take them out, you better be darn know what you're doing and work with somebody that can guide you through it appropriately. The next one is the COM-T gene. That one affects detoxification. Catecholamine O-methyltransferase. And that metabolizes neurotransmitters and hormones. So it takes those away. When you have buildups of used up neurotransmitters and hormones and they're circulating around, they have a tendency to bind to the receptors and inhibit the true, the good, the functioning version of the neurotransmitter and hormone. And that can affect your detoxification dramatically, how you feel going through it as well. And then finally, there's the CETP gene, cholesterol ester transferase, which takes oxidized cholesterol away from the arteries, and also that at the same, it's related to the bile and releasing toxins. So you've got oxidized cholesterol that builds up, and that's going to affect your detoxification. So let's get a little bit deeper on this GSTM, the glutathione transferase. It affects the synthesis of it. When the gene is missing or impaired, glutathione can't neutralize hydroperoxide. So these are very harmful chemicals that build up. So when it can't neutralize them, it puts a burden on the liver to try to store them away, which means that later on in the game, if you lose weight or you decide to go detoxify, these are going to be brought back on the picture. And you're still not going to have the glutathione ability on your own. So you really need to be supplementing people with glutathione precursors to help their glutathione go up if they have this gene impairment. It's been found to be missing in about 50% of the population. That's huge. And this number was collected a couple of years ago. I haven't looked it up to see if it's changed. The MTHFR, the way that affects detoxification is it activates folate and B12 and other important nutrients. It's estimated to be defective in 35% of the population of them, either one or both. Most autistic kids have MTHFR impairment. I've worked with Dr. Amy Yasko. She works almost exclusively with autistic kids these days. And she's tested hundreds, if not thousands, by now. And she's found that just about all of them have an MTHFR impairment. So it has something to do with the way that their brains are functioning. It impairs detoxification. And it's why because they don't have this ability to detox effectively, they react very strongly to mercury and vaccines. A lot of people report, parents of autistic kids, that their kids started to go downhill after a course of the vaccines. I have a friend whose son screamed for 6 months after having one of these. He didn't become autistic, but it really affected his brain and his ability to focus. He did end up with ADD. So what's possible? Can you change your genes? Well, you can't change your genes, obviously. You're born with them, but you can change how they operate. You can change whether they're activated, turned on, or turned off, right? You can change whether they're expressing or not expressing, and those things are controlled by your diet and your environment. So you can control how they affect your biochemistry. You control how they affect your physiology. You can control the expression of them, and that is by nutrients, by diet, by lifestyle, by not doing things that turn on specific genes. And in these genes, for example, if they're expressing, what you want to do is make sure that you're providing bypasses to those metabolic pathways. It may be simple, it may be not. There's a website, it's a great website, mthfr.net. And Dr. Ben Lynch has been researching this for a long time, puts out really good information to teach the general public about this and how they can take control. Is it easy? No, but it's easier than being sick. There's a lot of research on changing the expression of your genes. So don't get me wrong the way that's worded, changing your genes. You can't change your genes, you were born with them, but you can make them worse, you can defect them. But you can't like get rid of a gene, but you can turn it off and turn it on. So Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. There was some research at Stanford University School of Medicine in 1987 and 92, discovered that the environment operating through the cell membrane can turn genes on and off, which thus started the study of epigenetics, which is the expression, the gene expression. So there's an article by Bruce Lipton that I liked. There was identical twins born with the exact genetics. As they grew up and had different experiences, they end up selecting different gene combinations to express, leading to a unique gene profile from each twin. Sometimes they even look a little bit different. It's kind of interesting that way. Diet, thoughts, environment, exposures can all affect the genetics. Healthy environment on a cellular level leads to improved outcome. This is all quoted from Dr. Bruce Lipton from this article I gave you a link to. It's a fascinating subject. Totally, totally fascinating. So we're getting back to a lot of basic stuff. Basic stuff with some extra stuff added to it. Starting with a whole foods low glycemic diet. Getting at least 4 cups of cruciferous daily. Using kelp or other high iodine sea vegetable to prevent thyroid inhibition if that's a concern. Always do the methylated form of folate. Do not do synthetic folic acid. If you've got supplements or your client has supplements that contain that, have them get rid of it and replace it. It's not an expensive supplement. And what happens, and Dr. Lynch, Ben Lynch, explains this really well in a video, that with the folic acid actually will inhibit the methyl or take away, reduce the effectiveness of the methylated folate. You need to put in that methylated folate, especially if somebody has the MTHFR gene. You need a methylated form of B12, although Dr. Amy sometimes has them start with very, very small doses of non-methylated, like adenosyl or hydroxy, at the beginning, because sometimes they go into detox too quickly if you give them the methylated form. Other nutrients that are important are zinc, manganese, copper, N-acetylcysteine, and of course our buddy glutathione. Glutathione is the goddess of detox. It is produced by the liver, but you need the raw materials. It's depleted by lifestyle and exposure. It's depleted by a poor diet, a nutrient-depleted, refined food diet that has a lot of toxic byproducts and oxidized fats. Pollution. It's depleted by trauma and infection, radiation, stress, medication, and aging. It's a super important enzyme antioxidant, and it requires B6, B12, and folic acid to produce. So you have to make sure you have that, and you have to have the amino acids to produce it, the raw materials, the glycine, the glutamine, and the cysteine. Super important. And the amounts vary, but I usually start people with N-acetylcysteine at about 500 milligrams 3 times a day. Glutathione recycles your antioxidants, so your free radicals go from vitamin C to vitamin E to lipoic acid and then to glutathione. And so as the glutathione is becoming oxidized from the vitamin C, the vitamin C then becomes reduced again. So if the vitamin C has picked up a bunch, it's lost some of its oxidation power, actually the glutathione can recycle it. Quite interesting how our body does that. Helps to protect you against free radicals. It helps your immune system to fight infection and cancer. It can also prevent AIDS. I don't have any specific studies on it, but it was quoted in one of the places that I did some research in. Required for healthy brain function. It's absolutely, when you are deficient in glutathione, everything falls apart. It can cause ADD, autism, Parkinson's, and dementia. Like I said, Dr. Amy is having really good results with kids with autism, working with the glutathione and with all the methylation issues. Here are some ways that will help you to make more glutathione from a diet perspective. Top of the list is good old broccoli sprouts, and then garlic and onions. These are not hard to find. They are not hard to incorporate. They are not expensive. Broccoli on all the cruciferous, garlic, onions, and then making sure that you have enough of those vitamins like B6, B12, and folic acid. The whole foods form, the methylated forms of B12 and folic acid. Make sure you have enough cysteine, glycine, glutamine. You need those for protein digestion. You need stomach acid and enzymes. You need to be actually getting the proteins in to the system, getting the minerals in, not just taking them in, but getting them into the cells. Love turmeric. Turmeric does great things in the body. Green tea. Green tea, or if you're concerned about the caffeine, you can do green tea extract. But and there's a couple of supplements that have the green tea extract with the turmeric, with milk thistle. There's one called Protandim that's turmeric, green tea extract, milk thistle, ashwagandha, and bacopa. NAC, 500 milligrams twice daily. Vitamin C, at least 1,000 milligrams twice a day. But a lot of times going to bowel tolerance is what you really need to do. So just gradually increase that or do the vitamin C calibration to figure out bowel tolerance. Omega-3s, super, super important. I love getting quality amino acids, and you can get it from easily digested proteins like raw greens, sprouts, sprouted nuts and seeds, grains and legumes, depending on the tolerance. Everybody's going to tolerate things a little bit different, and you're helping to work with optimizing this person's diet. If they have a problem, if they get gas from certain foods, then and adding enzymes doesn't help, then keep them off of that food. Don't try to keep getting them on there. I've worked with people who just say, oh, I'm just going to try. I'm going to keep taking it because you said it's good for me, but I'm getting gas. I'm like, no, we don't want to put you on foods that are not working for you. Okay? Work with people. It's really important that you get their acid-alkaline imbalance because the blood pH, right, you know this already, 7.35 to 4.5, the saliva pH often becomes acidic from the diet and lifestyle choices. The saliva pH will vary more throughout the day based on what you're eating. The urine pH should be slightly acidic in the morning because you're detoxing from overnight, but it shouldn't be lower than 6.4. There's some charts that I'll include. Animal products produce acid. In general, the tends to be the free-range ones don't produce quite as much. Refined foods produce acid, grains produce acid. Most vegetables and fruits are alkaline, but there are some exceptions. So look at the chart, the food chart. Stress creates acid. Medication creates acid. Environmental toxins can create. There's all these things. It all goes down to managing the person in a big level, but knowing the particulars that you can do to customize and to really, really optimize their detoxification. Candidas and funguses, they produce endotoxins and they thrive on processed foods and sugar. So again, even more reason to keep them on a whole foods diet. Okay, they can be removed with a high raw diet and detoxification, generally speaking. For me, I've been dealing with candida for probably over a year. Well, that I knew about, I'd probably been doing it for many, many years because I've been sick for many years. But I had only known about it for a year, and I wasn't making that much headway. After the fast, it went away. We basically starved it away. You just have to be careful when people are doing things to help eliminate candida or funguses or toxins from the gut, because what happens is they, like I showed you in the picture, their cell walls release, the toxins burst out, and it makes the symptoms temporarily worse. If that happens, you can slow down, you can increase the antioxidants, and you can have them do something like castor oil packs or saunas and skin brushing to increase the excretion of the toxins. It's usually because the toxins are recycling that they feel worse. So these are some activities that you can do in conjunction with the detox. I think we mentioned most of it, but saunas, make sure they drink 16 ounces or more water before and every 30 to 45 minutes. If they're really toxic, you can do it daily, but sometimes you have to start really slow and work them up. Steam rooms can be very good. They're a little bit less intense than a sauna. The dry skin brushing before showering can be very useful. Detox baths, you just take Epsom salts, Himalayan salt rocks, lavender, apple cider vinegar, clay. There's so many options for doing detox baths. And get them doing detox baths. Helps a lot. Castor oil pack over the liver, and I also put them over the gut as well. Exercise, especially light exercise, rebounder, something that's going to get the lymphatic moving, and enemas and colonics. So again, I'm just repeating the steps to optimize detox. Avoid the toxic exposure. Duh, we went through that at the beginning. High nutrient dense diet, the fiber to drag things out, optimizing digestion so you don't continue to add toxins to it. Get on an exercise program. Drink lots and lots of pure water, at least half the body weight in fluid ounces. Pure air. Talk to people about air filters because that's a piece that's often overlooked. They think that their home environment is clean, and really it's not, and the air filters can help a lot. And having a daily stress reduction practice is so vital to success. So, what do you do if somebody's in the middle of a detox and they're having some excessive detox reactions? What can you do to help them, give them immediate relief? Say they've got either skin rashes or headaches, fatigue, nausea, irritable bowel, or confusion and memory problems, which is happens. I work with somebody who that's what happens to her. She just gets these, she gets confused and she gets memory problems. The immediate relief would be a high dose of buffered vitamin C, a teaspoon up to a tablespoon even in a big glass of water, just taken down really quickly, can give a really strong antihistamine effect to the body. Enemas, same thing. I've had people who, they do an enema, and within 10 minutes after doing the enema, they're feeling like 100% better. And sulfur-rich foods, crucifers, garlic, onion, MSM, those need to be included. Those are really good to provide those sulfur groups, the methyl groups, as we saw in those phases of the liver. The detox bath, again, you can just, if they're starting to feel that way, tell them to get in the bath, throw in a bunch of apple cider vinegar, or throw in some Epsom salts, or get into the sauna or sweat. Sometimes they're just feeling so bad that they're not going to want to exercise, but just doing some of these passive things can get them out of crisis really quickly. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. If you're going to be taking them through a deep tissue detox, don't just dump them right into it. Give them a preparation time. Make sure that they get the processed foods out of the environment, not just to decide they're not going to do it, but get it out of the house if possible. Remove the toxic cleaners and chemicals and body care products. You don't want to be doing tissue detox and be slathering on some commercial lotions that are loaded with all kinds of toxins. And then do the sweating regularly. I love getting people doing interval training, the burst training, 30 to 60 seconds, then slow down and then repeat. Saunas and steam room, like we talked about. And then make sure they have a stress management thing in place and they know what they're going to do. Not that they're going to start it during the process. Get them starting that sooner beforehand. Again, if you're going to be starting somebody on, you want them to do detox on a daily basis. I love what I call everyday detox. We should be detoxing daily. Taking an Epsom salts bath once or twice a week. Having a lavender essential oil around. An eye pillow to cover the eyes with a little bit of essential oil on it. Dry skin brushing, a yoga mat, walking shoes, lots of great produce and supplements and herbs based on where you want to go.